KXRNLP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach, Laguna's only FM, KX93.5.
You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer, and reporter Megan Jamerson.
Yo, yo, yo.
I'm Scott Hayes, and this is Radio Caravan, and I'm here, of course, with my co-host, Robert Palmer.
That was my shout-out to Fit Ascent.
Now, you were talking about pitching, making a pitch at a game the other night. What was
Fit
that
about? Fit Ascent, otherwise known as Ludacris, has officially now thrown the worst opening pitch at a baseball game in history.
I saw that.
It flew out of his hand, went left. It was disgraceful.
And did he have just one shot at it, or did he have two?
Pretty much, it's the first pitch.
Yeah. Is this a Ludacris from the movie, the Paul Haggis movie, Crash?
Yo, yo, yo.
50 Cent and Ludacris are two different people.
That's what I thought, yeah. So 50 Cent is another guy.
50 Cent's someone who got shot like five times and then made a movie the next week.
Please,
so,
pronounce,
to be
it,
fair,
pronounce it correctly.
50 Cent. All right, to be fair, 50 Cent did get shot multiple times during mid-pitch because he's famous for being shot. So we got to forgive him on that basis.
That was his homage to Tupac, I believe.
Yes.
That's Max Tech, by the way, who's in the studio today for the last time for the next 6 weeks or so, right?
For the last time.
That worked.
How did that happen?
That was funny. All
right. Hey, listen, by the way, Radio Caravan is sponsored by Jimmy's Famous American Tavern in Dana Point. Regional American comfort food cocktails, microbrews, and California wine. I love saying cocktails. It's open for lunch and dinner and weekend brunch. Visit www.j-fat.com. And we actually are giving away a gift certificate right now.
Nice.
To the first caller who can answer the following question. And the number you're going to call, by the way, is 949-715-5936, 949-715-5936. Call into the studio. We'll get you on the air. And the question is, on what channel does Radio Caravan appear on weekends? On what channel does this show appear?
We're on TV?
We're on TV, yeah.
Holy smokes.
All right, to the first caller. Hey, let's start with a little police blotter, shall we, Robert?
Today's police blotter.
Sure, Laguna Beach, you think it's a beautiful town, a safe home, but no, it's a cesspool out there of crime, violence,
by the way, you,
destitution.
Every Saturday morning you call it a cesspool in Laguna Beach.
I do. I don't know why. I have to get people psyched up for the street beat. So for those of you that are fans of the montage, and you may have saw a nice young woman drop in last week, she actually drove in. That would be Leanne Hughes. She decided that at 4:49 in the morning, it was a perfect time to drive her BMW through the front doors and directly into the bar, destroying the entire place.
Wow.
Leanne didn't stop there. Uh-huh. She was taken to the hospital. And, of course, they have her car, her license. She's been booked. But she thought she could make a stealthy getaway.
Stealthily.
And began running out of the hospital and was promptly tackled by police officers.
So wow.
We won't be seeing Leanne for a while.
I wonder if there's any alcohol involved in that accident.
I would wager there would be.
Yeah, okay.
What is it that coaches say? Nothing good happens after midnight. So at 4:49 a.m., I think she was pretty toasty.
All right.
All right, this guy gets the Good Parent Award. This would be our man here from Alberto Perez from Ontario. He decided the perfect time to take his child to the beach was when a small amount of methamphetamines fell out of his pocket in front of a police officer.
Wow.
He and his child were promptly arrested. Bail is set.
Well, let's back up. Why was the child arrested?
Well, protective custody.
Oh, got you. Okay. But, I mean, he wasn't, like, handcuffed and booked and
I certainly
photographed
hope not.
And fingerprinted.
I hope
right?
not. Okay. I certainly hope
the
not.
The child actually made the meth, so that's the problem.
Yeah. But I mean, that's scary, though, to think that your father's traveling around with crystal meth. Right?
Is indeed that
Oh, I have that feeling all the time.
That explains that mask the little kid was wearing. Okay, so we have a traffic collision. Apparently 59 is a little too old to drive anymore. A woman just plowed her car into a parked dump truck. Now, you'd think you would see the dump truck, but she did not. But here's my favorite one. This is an ad for the NRA.
Oh.
All right, 400 block North Coast Highway. A resident was walking around his home wearing a 1911 U.S. Army-issued Colt 45.
Huh.
He decided that was the perfect time to trip and fall, and he proceeded to shoot himself as he hit the ground.
Wow. Did he survive the shot?
He did. It shot him in the rear end.
Got you.
So he's alive and well, and the NRA is very proud of him.
Yeah, okay, very nice, Robert. All right, well, let's go. Let's move to About Man About Town, or last week was Woman About Town. And you were
now, your Man About Town.
Thank you, Brian.
Mm-hmm. That had a little 50 Cent groove to it, didn't it? All right, we got a lot going on. First of all, what we got to do is start with a shout out to our new favorite gal, Rita Rudner, who was on our show last week.
She was great.
Apparently, Little Prince was going on there too.
Was that Prince?
Had a nice beat. I like it. Might have been 50 Cent. I don't know. But Rita was absolutely tremendous. She was on the show last week, and she's performing on Saturday night and Sunday night this week at the Laguna Playhouse. And she'll be there with her husband and her daughter signing autographs in the lobby.
Yep.
And we're going tonight to see
her.
So
good for you.
If you haven't seen her, she's absolutely fabulous. There's still a few tickets left.
You know, I just thought she was the funniest person. I mean, I really did. And that was a phoner. That was a three-way phoner that we did, right?
I've never done a three-way phoner. Yeah.
I've never watched a three-way phoner.
Yeah.
Are you scarred by it?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Especially because she kept randomly saying chicken. That was.
And Worcestershire.
Don't bring up chicken. I had food poisoning last night from chicken. So.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, keep going.
All right, so we got a lot of good stuff going on. If you want to get happy, of course you want to get happy.
I want to get happy.
Then you need to head up tonight. Hollywood Bowl, who's going to be there? None other than Farnell Williams, singing happy, dancing around with that crazy-ass hat on.
Yeah.
And he'll be opening for one of my favorite performers in the world. So it's sold out. Tickets are exceedingly expensive, but they still can be obtained.
Okay.
And then for you Angela Jolie fans out there, Maleficent is coming out this weekend, getting rave reviews. It's kind of the prequel to the Snow White story.
Right.
Speaking of movies, can you name for me the only two movies in history to make over $2 billion, and they're both by the same director?
$2 billion by the same Greg McGilvery.
He's very good, but not that good. People don't like porpoise stories that much.
Well, you know he's well, okay. I mean, he's sold over $1 billion in ticket sales.
Are they James Cameron movies?
They are indeed.
Titanic and Avatar.
It is indeed.
Wow, Max, way to go, dude!
$2 billion each. So, if you want to love the one you're with, of course. Tonight, you can go out and see your friend Stephen Stills performing at the Coach House. Magnificent musician.
Yeah.
He's out on a solo tour right now. On the other hand, if you like farting, you could go to the Chili Fair. It's in Tustin. So you just walk around all day long, eat chili, go home, and make your family very, very happy with you.
Yeah.
That's from 11 to 5:30 in Old Town, the Chili Cook-Off. Now, the last surviving Gibb brother would be who?
Barry.
And was he the youngest or the oldest?
Oldest.
Very good. All of his young brothers died.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure of seeing their last North American performance.
Really?
Dodger Stadium. Wow. First time they played in 20 years. They were absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So Barry's now up there on his own. He actually has his son playing with him and his niece playing with him. And he sounded pretty good. We saw him on TV last week. And my personal recommendation this week would have to be on Tuesday, head out to Verizon Amphitheater because you're going to see One Republic, a band I absolutely love. They're phenomenal.
Is that those young guys from American Idol?
No, not at all. This is a real band who plays amazing music. And the script, who's also fantastic, is opening for them. So that's going to be a great show at Verizon on Tuesday.
Are you going to that?
I am, and tickets are still available at really good prices for great seats.
Wow.
Yeah.
You travel quite a bit, by the way. And have you ever seen Stephen Stills on a solo acoustic concert?
I have. Many years ago, I saw him in Huntington Beach, and during the break, his drummer got drunk, broke his arm, and they were delayed an hour until they could get somebody else to play drums.
We got Chick out in the other room giving me the thumbs up sign here. You like Stephen Stills? Yeah. I do too, man. I tried to learn Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, and first of all, you have to tune the guitar slightly. You have to tune it to an E or a D. I forget what it was. And also, I saw him on stage at like McCabe's Guitar Shop or something, and I could actually see the finger movements, and that's how I learned the song, by watching him play Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, really. It's just amazing that he could even come up with that song. Brian, do we have somebody online? Caller, are you finally there?
Yes.
Hey. So let me go back. You're calling in for the gift card, right?
Yes.
Wonderful. What's your name, by the way? What's your first name?
It's Karen McKenna.
Okay, Karen McKenna.
What's your last name, Karen McKenna?
And it's Cox Station 3.
Well, that's very nice.
Excellent.
Yeah. On what station does Radio Caravan appear? Cox Channel 3. Have you watched it, by the way? I'm just curious.
All the time. I actually tape it.
Do you really?
Wow.
Have it so I can go back and watch it over again.
That sounds great.
We should give her two gift cards. This is extraordinary.
If we had to, we would. Well, Karen, thanks for calling in. We're going to put you on hold, and Brian's going to get your mailing address and all that contact information.
Thank you.
And probably within the next week, expect a gift certificate card to Jimmy's Famous American Tavern in Dana Point.
And thank you for listening.
Awesome.
And thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Beautiful. Wow.
Love the show.
Thanks.
Love it.
Thanks.
Wow. Somebody actually likes the show. Give her three gift cards. Hell, I'll give her my card.
Well, so as we've stated, Radio Caravan appears on Cox Channel 3 tonight, 8 p.m. and 12 noon tomorrow. This weekend is the hardest working musician in Orange County, Sean Jones, who we both think is a phenom. He does a great version of Jimi Hendrix, The Wind Cries Mary. There's my speech impediment coming out again. And he does a lot of his original songs as well.
He does,
and
indeed.
It's a great show. It's a great show. And that reaches, by the way, about 250,000 cable subscribers. So that's good to know. And we come either before or after Jim Dotti has a show, the president of Chapman College. We come either before or after his show.
That's impressive. Jim's an impressive guy.
He really is, yeah. He's got two shows. One is a cooking show, and then he's another one on stage doing something or other. So, okay, in the studio is Max Tech down from San Francisco. Good morning, sir. How are you, Max?
Good morning, Scott. I'm good.
Good. So what's going on in the tech world these days?
Well, I'd like to start out with You Should Know.
You Should Know.
And my You Should Know is about the Beats headphones. And after some intense research and scouring of the internet, I have come to a conclusion that when you turn Beats off, it's not that the actual device is turned off. They set the EQ or the equalizer to go to a bad present sound. So what happens is it creates the illusion that when you turn the little beat option on, like I noticed you used to have Beats, as soon as you flick the little switch on, it sounds better. It's not because the soundproofing or anything's being turned on. It's literally a switch just activates a better sounding EQ, which makes people think like, oh, Beats sound great. But in all fairness, Apple just paid $3 billion for looks. But
those
that's nothing new
bastards.
For them.
And most audiophiles do not think much of the Beats headphone. It's not generally reviewed as one of the best headphones.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
They get a premium price because it's uber cool.
Oh, yeah.
Uber cool.
Like Dre.
Exactly.
Not too interesting, but
by the way,
Tesla.
I think Fifth Citizens uses them, doesn't
it? Tesla Motors is now the largest California automaker, employing over 6,000 people.
Wow.
Another 500 by the end of the year.
How many of those are firemen that have to put the fires out in the Teslas?
So you guys know how the police use those really cool license plate scanners?
Cool. No.
We don't find them
you guys
very
didn't
cool.
Know that.
That's how they track you.
Well, they do, and people do think it's cool, but not today. Because earlier this week, an innocent man was driving in Kansas City, driving in his BMW that he bought himself, being a lawyer, because we all know how humble lawyers are.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, watch it.
A police officer just randomly cut him off on the freeway, almost ran the guy off the road. Then a motorcycle cop follows right behind him. They both raise guns, pointed at him, and charged the car, scaring the crap out of this poor guy.
I bet, yeah.
What happened was the police behind him, they were near the county line, scanned his license plate, was off by one digit. The police couldn't afford to let him get over county lines and let someone else deal with it. That they decided, well, let's go for it. They couldn't even confirm it was him. So they thought it was an alleged car thief and a stolen BMW, when in fact it was just a lawyer going home to his family.
Huh. Well, if I don't get it. If it's scanning the license plate, is there a mechanical problem with the scanner?
The scanner might have read an 8 as a 3 or
gotcha.
Something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Wow.
And then something I want to talk about is the moon. Beautiful yet mysterious frontier.
Who doesn't?
I mean, who doesn't want to talk about the moon? As we all know, the race between the Soviet Union and the USA began, I'd say, in like the 50s. Robert, you know that time very well. You're about 25 around
started
that
with
era.
Sputnik. Sputnik 1 and Sputnik 2.
So everyone's been racing on the moon, and then they said the race to the moon
by
ended.
The way, name the dog that was thrown up into space. That would be poor little Laka.
Poor little Laka.
That was the dog they launched into space.
Wow.
Well, people thought the race to the moon ended, but it didn't.
No.
The race to the moon is not over, and U.S. just won it this last week by doing what? By putting the first Wi-Fi hotspot on the moon. With the help of MIT and NASA, they are shooting wavelengths that are providing Wi-Fi through telescopes on two American-based 6-inch telescopes right at the moon, targeting an area of about, I'd say, 100 feet that is a Wi-Fi hotspot.
So who would be using that hotspot?
Well, they're planning on doing a Starbucks soon, so
okay. Yeah,
Starbucks would be the first to get on that.
Of course it is.
No, but is that true? They put a what?
There is a working Wi-Fi hotspot on the moon.
What's the purpose of that?
I think they're just trying to test out the technology that you can shoot it through something versus actually have like a stationary modem somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love mankind. You know?
Yeah.
We go to the moon, but we got to bring a car so we can just kind of tool around. Got to shoot a Wi-Fi up there for a Starbucks.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else we got going on, Max?
That's it.
Good stuff today. And you're off to Peru tonight, yes?
Yep.
And you're going to be gone for 6 weeks?
Yeah, I'll be gone for 6 weeks.
Building
but,
homes?
Yes. But I did manage to get a VPN on my computer so I can call in pretending I'm from the U.S. So well, no charge on me, no charge on you.
I think that sounds great. Like,
Very cool.
Why pretend you're calling from the U.S.? Let's just say you're calling from Peru.
Well, because if I was calling from Peru, I'd be paying about $500 to AT&T. So.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
So well, lots of guinea pig on a stick coming up for you, huh?
According to Anthony Bourdain, everyone in Peru eats, what do you say?
Guinea pig.
That is false. I'm sorry.
They don't eat guinea pigs.
All right. I don't know.
Only Saturday eat guinea pigs. Yeah. I did have a run-in with an alpaca, though, so I don't want to talk about that.
Hey, Max, great Alrighty. Stuff, man. Safe travels,
Thank
too.
Good seeing
really.
You. Thanks,
Good
man.
To see you, man. Look forward to when you come back here. All right, we're bringing into the studio now. We're making a very rough transition. Miss Jill Harvey, our lifestyle, healthy lifestyle.
With her personal journal.
With her personal journal.
Here to talk to us about something that stresses all of us out.
Yeah, stress management.
Stress.
Well, first of all, good morning. How are you
good
doing?
Morning.
Are you feeling a little stressed at all?
Not at all, but I noticed you guys were this morning.
Well, you know, mine was food poisoning. Yeah. Robert's was what? It was
vodka poisoning.
There you go, yeah.
Vodka poisoning. I'm sorry. Yeah. So everybody's kind of getting with it now. You're relaxing a little bit.
No,
yeah.
I'm sitting here.
You have
sweating.
A calming presence.
Are you going to throw up?
No, I'll try not to. But if I do, I'll go in Robert's direction. How's that?
Turn
Thank
your head
you so
that
much
way. So you know what's up with stress? We're living in a chaotic world. A lot of things going on. People are more stressed than ever before, and here's the thing with stress. It's a physical response to circumstances and events and even our own thoughts that create an imbalance in our bodies. And this can, a lot of times, be not good. But sometimes it's good. You know, there's good stress that helps us focus more, increases our alertness. It can save our life even. But it's the chronic stress that we're looking at. And this can be harmful to our health on many levels. It goes in many deep areas of our bodies, of our lives, and it can decrease the quality of our lives as well overall. So, I mean, like even this morning, you're not feeling well, and it's, can affect the whole energy, right? A little hangover, Robert?
No, feel great, super.
Oh, okay.
A couple of Advil, I'm doing good.
And another drink this morning, right?
No, I'm just trying to relate to my partner and empathize
with him. Isn't
that sweet? Oh, my gosh. Well, so there's different types of stress, though. You can have mental stress, and you can have emotional stress and physical stress. And in the mental stress, it's chronic worrying, it's fear, it's anxiety, it's negative thinking even. People who are just negative, the kind of Debbie Downers in life. But that fear, in life right now, there's so much fear going on. We're afraid of the sun, the water, plastic in our bottles. We're afraid of the foods we eat. We're afraid to eat bread. We're afraid of so many things. And it's just taking this. And then when you have the physical body, if you're in pain, that can throw everything off. It can throw off how you think. You cannot relax. And then the emotional thing, you may have suffered a loss. There could be things going on financially, that are happening. All of these interplay with one another. And we're living in a time, too, when we have a huge amount of our society on antidepressants, anti-anxiety medicines, sleep medicines. So they need something to wake up. They need something to go to sleep. They need something to keep them chill. And, this is not that some people don't honestly need help, but this help is becoming chronic and addictive. And we're not honoring our own nervous system. It's destroying our nervous system. So we know that stress can be the precursor to many disorders and many diseases. And, in future shows, because this is so deep and can go in so many avenues, we're going to talk about even the power of the mind. There are people who can make themselves sick, whether they're aware of it or not. There's a great story of a woman who walked into a hospital. She was actually fine, but something she misinterpreted, by the evening she was dead.
Wow.
Because she stressed herself out over that so much. So, we look at what are the symptoms of it and what can, it varies from person to person, right? So we can have digestive disorders. And Scott, I know the word poop stresses you out.
Yeah.
It does, right? So,
especially when Robert says it.
Look at his face. Poop.
Poop.
Here we go again. Well, you two got a thing going on there.
We're going to be, yeah.
Yeah, that's enough.
So, but you can.
Duty.
Mr. Duty from South Park. Remember Mr. Duty?
Love Mr. Duty.
Yeah. So, it can cause constipation,
Don't
diarrhea. Those are two
Christmas
good words.
Poo was a good
Christmas
one, too.
Christmas poo was great. But it can cause sleep disorders, overeating, undereating. I know when I'm stressed.
Christmas poo causes sleep disorders?
Yeah, it can. Okay. No, stress itself. But so overeating, undereating, when I'm stressed, I tend not to eat, and I'll drop weight quickly. You know, people may sleep too much. They can get chest pain, high blood pressure, a decreased immune system, so you're more susceptible to colds, or someone around you is sick, you're going to get sick, depression. And then people are turning to alcohol and drugs in unhealthy ways.
You know, as opposed to healthy, turning to heroin and methamphetamine.
Right, right. Those are bad. Yeah. Okay. But so we look at this, and you can get rashes on the skin, pain in the body. But then how do you manage this? What are some good ways to manage the stress?
I was about to ask you that.
Right. So
how do you?
We're going to laugh more. Laughing, not taking things so seriously. You know, what's that? Look at that one.
Like that, right?
Just like that.
Can you do a fake laugh,
just like
Robert?
That.
Can you do a fake laugh, Jill?
No, I actually can't.
Try it. Come on, you let it go a little bit.
like that laughing yoga.
That was,
I can't.
Like Cruella exactly. DeVille there.
I don't know what that was. Yeah,
you're
it was
like about
evil.
To kill a puppy or something with that.
I think
sound.
So. Yeah. Ooh, there's great. Another line. Yeah, so then we can look at, I like to say taking time out to take time in. I don't know if I created that, but if I did, I'm a genius.
Yeah, I love that.
And, you know, there may be, even like with Max, there may be some apps. There are some apps. You can test your blood pressure. You put your finger over the camera. Meditation, massage, aromatherapy, taking a hot bath, walking meditation, yoga, exercise, disconnecting. This is a big one. Take time. Just turn off your phones. Disconnect from social media. People are stressing out. That social media, oh, my God, they're online comparing themselves.
Right.
And we have this whole thing where reality shows now are really glamorizing people behaving badly.
You know? That's true.
And it's like not a good thing. So we're seeing that. And you know, progressive relaxation. And I'd like to do, how about this, a little example of breath work.
Okay.
You guys in?
Yep. Let's
Robert, you in?
Yes.
No. Yeah, that was hyperventilating.
Oh, sorry.
So you're just going to put your hands on your belly. Robert. Behave. And close your eyes and put that phone down. Oh, my God.
Let him do it.
Okay, so you're just going to close your eyes, put your hand on your belly, and I want you just to watch your breathing now. Just watching the inhale, and that's what happens. Now you're de-stressed. So, but breath work, just really connecting. And then Robert, waking up.
Ooh,
good morning.
Wow, hi.
Yeah, hi. So, you know, all these types of things, just, you know, having a good support of friends.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
You good?
Very
so that's
nice.
It.
Sorry, I was getting hot over here.
You were stressing out.
I had food poisoning, and I thought I'd open up the door, but the camera guys are yelling at me, so I guess that's a no-no from
no,
what
no.
I'm hearing. Yes?
No.
Got you. Okay.
No. Now we're all stressed again. Let's breathe.
I know,
let's
sorry.
Breathe.
Breathe together.
Just
woo.
Breathe. So there you go. That's you know, that's a step in that direction. In other shows, we're going to get into some deeper
very
avenues
good.
Of this.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Sorry about the interruption.
No
there.
Worries.
Just,
would eating chia pets help?
Not the chia pet necessarily. That could be bad.
The seeds would be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ms. Jill, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your yoga lesson.
Thank you.
Robert, we're going to do two things here real quickly. Number one, we're going to do, instead of Legends of Rock, where you kind of go through a band and talk about their top 10 songs, we're going to do a legendary song of rock, right? One song. You're going to give us some interesting information about that one song. When you're done with that, we'll let that song play out. We're going to bring in a musical guest to perform one song here in the studio.
Fabulous.
And then we have, of course, our interviewee coming that he's going to talk about the show he's doing over at South Coast Repertory.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
Legends of Rock.
All right, so today we're going to do a special feature called Behind the Song, a little background on a song that many of you might know as Scrambled Eggs. According to Paul McCartney, I really reckon that Yesterday was probably the best song I ever wrote. That's probably one of the most humble statements I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It holds the record as being the most recorded song in history with over 2,500 versions, and known airplay exceeds 7 million times in the U.S. alone.
Wow.
The song was actually written at 57 Wimpole Street in London while he was staying at the home of his girlfriend. According to Paul, I woke up with a lovely tune in my head, and I thought I ought to go play it. So I went right to the piano and banged out the chords. But he didn't know where it came from. He said he heard it in a dream. He was afraid he couldn't remember the medley, so he came up with the words, scrambled eggs, oh my baby, how I love your legs. Those were the original words to Yesterday. And for months upon months, he went around driving all of the members of the Beatles crazy, banging that on a piano and singing scrambled eggs, because he could never figure out what to do.
Scrambled eggs.
Exactly. So he finally turned to the tune of Yesterday. And when he composed it, he felt a little embarrassed He said, because we're a rock and roll band, and I didn't think we should be playing music like this.
Your British accent, by the way.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
So he sat on the song for actually two albums before ever bringing it to anyone's attention or trying to record it.
Wow.
So finally he came around, and he thought that maybe he had heard it somewhere and he had stolen it. So then he spent months playing the song for everyone he met. And everyone said, it's lovely, but I've never heard it before. Thank you. So finally he decided to go ahead and write the words to it on a trip. And on June 14th, 1965, he walked into the EMI studios, sat down, and recorded only two tracks of Yesterday. The first one, he screwed up the lyrics. He screwed up the verse. They told him to get his act together. He played it the second time. And on the second cut, that's the song Yesterday that we know to this day.
Huh.
The interesting thing is when he was done, he turned to his fellow bandmates and said, now you guys chip in. Ringo said, I can't put drums on top of that, mate. And George and John said, what's the point of adding guitar to that? There would be no point at all.
Right.
So it was the great Sir George Martin who said, I have an idea. Why don't we add some strings? McCartney was adverse to strings. He hated it. He said, I don't want to sound like Monteverde. So he went out and he convinced him to try a quartet.
Huh.
And they came in 2 days later and in only 2 hours recorded that amazing cello and violin soundtrack that goes on the back of it. They added only one more overdub for Paul McCartney to sing Yesterday on top of his other voice. And on June 18th, they had their first mix of the song. Probably one of the most famous and most beautiful songs ever. It was released on September 13th by Capitol Records. And it immediately went to number one and sold over a million copies. As you may know, one of the odd things about it is that Lennon and McCartney, when they were young, had an agreement that every song they ever did would be called Lennon and McCartney, regardless of who wrote it or who took the lead. Well, many years after the band broke up, Paul became upset that this was not his legacy song. So he went to that wonderful woman that all of the Beatles loved, the wonderful, happy, cheery Yoko Ono.
Right.
And he said, could you do me a personal favor?
On this one song.
I don't even want to take his name off. Can we just say it's written by McCartney and Lennon? You can imagine what she said. I can't repeat it on the air.
No.
She said no. To this day, he is pissed off at her, and the feud continues. Indeed, because his name was first, Lennon's, she actually made more money off the song than he did.
That's interesting.
One of the most amazing songs, one of the most greatest injustices for being credit, but probably my favorite song of all time. Let's take a listen to it.
We'll listen through it all the way through.
And this will be track number two. Remember, he only recorded it twice.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Yesterday by Sir Paul McCartney.
Very beautiful song, yeah. I love that song. Always loved it. I've never grown tired of that song, honestly. You know, sometimes you get burned out on a song. I've never gotten burned out on that song.
Nor have I.
Yeah. So, Robert,
our musical guest.
I'm so honored to see this. This is great.
April Johnson, who, of course, works here with us on Radio Caravan. And I've had the pleasure of hearing April play before. But, Robert, you haven't.
I've never had the pleasure.
You don't know anything about her or anything about her musical skills. None of this.
This is a wonderful treat.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas in May.
Yeah. And so we decided to bring her in to let you listen to her talents. And April, good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
And you want to tell us who you're with in here in the studio today?
Who am I with? Well, I've got my parents here from Minnesota or Fargo, North Dakota.
Hey, good day, Hoser.
To be exact.
My
boyfriend's out there. Jeff and Kathy.
Okay.
My boyfriend.
Chick.
Camera crew. And
yeah.
And you guys.
And us. Yeah.
Got a big following.
And Jill.
And Jill and everybody, yeah, and Max Tech and everybody.
Everybody.
So we April kind of decided on a song she thought she'd like to bring into the room and sing for you.
Wonderful.
And April, whenever you think you're ready, young lady, you just knock it out. And by the way, when we come back after this, we've got Brendan Hunt, who I have a feeling is going to be a very interesting guest.
Oh, so. She's got a beautiful Martin guitar there, like a deep, dark mahogany or something.
It's gorgeous. It's great. It's nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, April Johnson.
I've had bad dreams too many times to think that they don't mean much anymore. Fine times have gone and left my sad home. Friends who once cared just walk out my door. Love has no pride when I call out your name. Love has no pride. There's no one left to blame. I'd give anything to see you again. I've been alone too many nights to think that you could come back again. I've heard you talk, she's crazy to stay, but this love hurts me so, I don't care what you say. Love has no pride when I call out your name. Love has no pride. There's no one left to blame. I'd give anything to see you again. If I could buy your love, I'd truly try, my friend. And if I could pray, my prayer would never end. But if you want me beg, I'll fall down on my knees, asking for you to come back. I'll be pleading for you to come back. Begging for you to come back to me. Love has no pride when I call out your name. Love has no pride. There's no one but myself to blame. I'd give anything to see you again. Yes. guess I'd give anything to see you again.
Woo! April Johnson,
my
everybody.
Heavens, what a treat was that.
Did you have any idea how well she could sing and play guitar?
I had no idea she had this hidden talent inside of her.
Incredible.
And that voice, that soulful Bonnie Raitt living inside of her.
Yeah.
Thank
Extraordinary.
You.
Extraordinary.
Look at every guy in the room. We got a heavy testosterone room today, right? We got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys in here, 6 outside in April, and we're all going, wow, that was incredible, young lady.
Made me a little nervous. I think I need some girl power in here.
Well, okay. Hey, great job.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Extraordinary.
Beautiful.
Extraordinary.
Thanks for doing that, April.
Of course.
Appreciate it. Yeah. All right, let's bring in our next guest. I've got to open the door and work the mics and try not to pass out at the same time. Thank you. Thank you, April. Hey, applause out in the other room, no less. Beautiful. So we're going to make a few adjustments here. And while we are doing that, next week, June 5 through June 8, at South Coast Repertory's Studio SCR, is the production of Absolutely Filthy, an unauthorized Peanuts parody, written by and featuring our next guest, Brendan Hunt, who drove down. I'm not sure where he drove down from, but I think Los Angeles, and we're still trying to figure out what.
I think Mars. I think he's a long way away.
I took the 405 from Mars.
Lovely. How was the traffic?
Not bad, Rosetta in the morning. Excellent. Thanks for having me, everybody.
Well, thanks for coming down. So this performance is June 5th through June 8th.
Correct. Next week.
And it's the Charles Schultz Peanuts Gang are older and attending a funeral for Charlie Brown.
That is correct.
Is that the basic premise of the...
That is indeed the basic premise, except a bit more of the focus goes to a character who we call The Mess, but who's based on Pigpen. And Pigpen is kind of who we're following for the story. And he is as dirty as he ever was as a kid, but now he's an adult, and he's still dirty, and he's so dirty that he's basically a rambling homeless person.
Wow. And so you play this Pigpen-type character.
I do.
Yeah, and what inspired you to write...
Be a rambling homeless person. Because there's so many of them anyway.
Well, I mean, generally, people don't like when I talk. So that kind of just clued me right into it. Also, I'll eat garbage. The original inspiration came at Burning Man. I was at the Burning Man festival. And
that explains a lot.
It explains most of society. And I'm out dancing this one morning with a bunch of my friends, and dirt is kicking up all
Were
around
you naked?
Me everywhere.
Because you should be really naked.
Not only was I not naked, I was wearing so many clothes that I nearly suffered heat stroke.
Wow.
I don't tend to do Burning Man correctly. So... I'm out there dancing and kicking up dirt, and like while I'm dancing, I remembered a random Facebook post that a guy from my Burning Man camp had posted that was a picture of a typical like Pigpen drawing t-shirt thing, and he added, oh, now I get it. Pigpen from Peanuts was a burner. And while I'm out there dancing, kicking up dirt around me, oh, wait a minute, and this story came to me. And it's been really fun to do for about a year and a half now, off and on.
Amazing. Well, were you there the year, by the way, when the guy lit Burning Man on fire a day early and they beat the crap out of that guy?
I was not. I believe he did it like 4 days early.
Yeah, but I found that funny. It's a tribute to anarchy, and the perfect anarchist response is to light Burning Man early, and they just literally beat the crap out of it.
We're going to need our anarchy to be on schedule,
exactly.
My friend. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Okay.
Well, so once you kind of came up with this idea at Burning Man while you were dancing,
fully clothed
near heat stroke.
Yep.
You had to go back and do what? Write the script, or did you take this to your group up in LA? How'd that process work?
Yeah, I left Burning Man like the next morning.
Yeah.
And drive along. I was like, I got this idea for a story. And so at first, it was just a 10-minute. Little scene. There's a theater where we first performed this in LA called Serial Killers. It's called Sacred Fools. Sacred Fools Theater Company, and they do a show called Serial Killers where 5 sort of 10-minute episodes of a story, of different stories, go up, and the audience votes which 3 will come back the next week, and the other 2 serials are killed.
I gotcha.
And they kept voting us back, and we came back enough times that we were able to tell a whole story, and then the theater asked that I submit that for their main stage season, and we ended up doing it as a full-length length play about a year later.
I mean, that's got to be pretty exciting for you, don't you think? Starting at Burning Man and ending up here today on the radio station, ready to perform this play next week in a South Coast repertory.
I mean, I felt right at home when I saw that the Double Rainbow guy had signed the wall.
You like that?
Now I know this is a serious organization.
Very, very serious.
Hey, Pigpen is now homeless. He walks around on stage hula hooping while naked. Do I have that right?
I mean, not the whole time. With the naked, we save the naked for special times. But yeah, oh, there's some wang.
So,
is there wang chung tonight?
I mean, is
everyone's
frontal,
having fun.
Is there frontal nudity in this performance?
It is a show for mature audiences only. And yes, again, wang.
And we don't have a choice. It's you. We don't get a pick. It's
yeah, you know, when my dad came and saw it, and my dad's main comment afterwards was because I get briefly and hilariously naked in it, and no one else does. And my dad's only.
You generally don't want
me.
People laughing when you get naked. I found that's very humiliating.
There's really no other possible reaction.
Okay.
My dad's only note for me after the show was, you know, as the playwright, you can have women get naked. Like, oh, sorry, Dad. Didn't.
But why naked and why a hula hoop? I don't get the connection there with this particular character.
Well, the naked would be a bit of a spoiler alert, but suffice to say, he's having a particularly horrible day,
gotcha.
And it only gets worse. The hula hooping was part of the whole, you know, desert vision that I had, but
you're not spinning the hula hoop as I fear, are you, on stage?
Like
yeah, like
way.
That,
like centrifugal wing situation.
Yes, yes,
no,
okay.
No,
I hula hoop.
That I would come to see. That would be impressive.
I had learned to hula hoop a little while earlier before this Burning Man thing. Just kind of, you know, I decided like that was a skill that I should have because it looked fun. And as I'm trying to think of how I would play Pigpen, like, well, what's Pigpen about? Pigpen is about this dust cloud, and this dust cloud is ever-present, and it's always kinetic. So what's the thing that I could have? And basically right away, it's like, a hula hoop, but not a fabulous disco, glowing, shiny hula hoop, but it's a brown and black hula hoop.
Nice.
That would be always there and kinetic, and the audience would forget about it, but it would, you know, be ever-present. And so basically I hula hoop for about the length of the entire two-hour play.
Cleveland Brown logo on it, because that would fit perfectly on that on that orange and brown hula hoop.
How
it could make it even worse.
Should have thought of that. Should have
maybe a Johnny Manziel tribute somehow worked out.
How do you prepare to get naked in front of an audience in hula hoop? How does one get motivated? What's your motivation there?
Well, the first thing you do is not think about it. The second thing, you know, someone came and saw it when it had its main run at Sacred Fools, and one of the things they said, and I thought I had really, like thought about this ahead of time, but one comment I got was, your pubic hair was too groomed for a homeless person, and I was crestfallen. Like, what? I thought I really let myself go.
Critics are vicious.
I know. So now this time, as we get ready for this run at South Coast Rep next weekend, I haven't groomed for like a year.
Yeah,
I'll show them.
Well, do
you have a fluffer that like takes care of you before you go out on stage?
You will see that I have something like the opposite of a fluffer going on at the time.
Do you have, I don't even know how to say this delicately, but come on. You know what I'm saying, right?
I don't know what you're saying.
I have no idea.
I can't wait for this indelicate announcement, though.
Do you get on stage with a Woody? Is that?
Oh, my God, no. No. It's not really an arousing experience.
For you.
For me.
And the audience,
no,
right?
Definitely not for the audience. But not for me either. I mean, he's a homeless dude. He's running around, and he just kind of ends up naked. It's not a sexual nudity.
Nevertheless,
again, spoilers.
I don't know. I don't know about you, but anytime I'm naked, I tend to kind of go there. Am I the only one that does that, or? I guess I am. All right, let me ask another question. Lucy is
Daddy
a TV.
Johnny's in the bathtub again.
Lucy is a TV sports interviewer. Schroeder went from playing Beethoven to becoming a shallow pop star, and Snoopy died a long time ago.
No,
but he returns as a German-speaking female dog, as a hallucination inside Pigpen's head. How am I doing?
Good, except it's in Charlie Brown's sort of death fever dream is where he sees Snoopy.
Oh, okay, excellent, yeah. And so this group you're part of, Sacred
Fools.
Fools. Can you describe a little bit about how that process works?
Because
that's the creative process you go through to develop these sorts of skits or plays, right?
Well, I mean, this is a one-shot deal in a way. Like, I haven't really worked this process for any other thing, but in terms of what Sacred Fools is, Sacred Fools, they have this serial killer thing, which is late-night shows on Saturdays, which is it's really kind of a, like, mostly comedy, sometimes musical, little Thunderdome of shows. But Sacred Fools itself, like, they are very much the Bad News Bears of Los Angeles theater. Like, they do pretty well. They've been recognized with awards and things. But that thing is held together by surface tension and gum. But it's a great place to work, and I really am glad I've had the chance to perform there.
Two actors walk in and one actor walks out, playing your homage to Thunderdome.
Yeah, and the one who walked out wins somehow.
So is it all revolving around your script?
This particular play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it always revolved around a script, or is there sometimes there's more of a
This is a scripted show. I've got kind of an improv background, but this is a fully scripted piece.
Got you. It's been described, Absolute Filthy has been described as a dark and dirty comedy. I guess what's so dark and what's so dirty about the show?
It's a dark comedy. It's a homeless guy who comes to a funeral and we try to get laughs out of it. So it's in the proper tradition of dark comedy. And the dirty part, he's homeless. I am basically caked with makeup from head to toe. Like, after the show, family members will come by and want to hang out, and I need to give myself what they call the whore's bath, because there's no showers at Sacred Fools, and I got to take baby wipes and just baby wipe myself for 20 minutes before I'm presentable at all.
Wow.
So it's proper dirty.
Wow. Did you ever just try walking through a car wash or something?
Man, there have been nights where I would gladly have done so. Give me the full wax.
Maybe a little carnauba wax to shine up that body a little.
You've
bit.
Done this before.
Many times.
You're
actually
slightly too familiar with
I'm
the process.
I'm just throwing some ideas out there for you.
Is there any sort of character arc in this performance? Is there any sort of?
The spoilers. Hey, man, he's sure messed up in the beginning, and maybe this is the day that things work out, and he learns a lesson and straightens things out.
All right.
Or maybe he can't get out of what he is.
Beautiful. I love that. You also wrote 5 years Since Amsterdam. This was, I guess, talk to me a little bit about the inspiration behind this particular
Sure. I used to live in Amsterdam. The show was originally called 5 Years in Amsterdam, and it was a one-man show that I did about sort of the crazy times living there. I worked for a comedy and improv theater out there called Boom Chicago, who do their shows completely in English. Dutch people speak better English than we do. It's irritating. and I did that show for a while, and then after I left Amsterdam, I sort of had the sense of let me reassess this and sort of take a slightly more adult look at my youthful chicanery. I'm still wearing my Holland gear because I had such a good time there.
You learn some stuff about Dutch society, universal health care and marijuana, wild fetish parties, and how all of these things sort of turned you into a citizen of the world. That's what I read online.
Don't forget the red light district.
Red light district. It's just a neighborhood. Yeah. In the end,
just a nice girl. It's a little misunderstood.
I had a friend who lived there who would have us over for poker games, and you just stroll through it. It's the safest neighborhood in Amsterdam too. Like, there's so many non undercover and undercover cops. But I had to go to my buddy's apartment and just stroll on up, and he happened to live above a S&M hooker who had a very strung out, heroiny look about her. She would wink at me when I would go through his door because the next thing I was like, and strolling out, though, she left the door to her salon open once.
Ooh, would you walk in there by mistake?
I it would not have been a mistake. But what
was your safe word?
She harder. It was just that. I mean, she was not active at the time. Like, she had left the room just sort of open and empty. But it was like a movie set of every single painful, horrible toy, and this big X of wood, what would you call them, struts or whatever, crossbars. I like to think I'm no prude, but I was actually shocked by the real world existence of such a thing.
And you were inspired by how long did you stay in Amsterdam?
5 years.
How long did you stay in that room?
It felt like an hour.
Did it?
Why 5 years in Amsterdam?
Well, I got this job with Boom Chicago, and I went out there with the full expectation of okay, I'm only going for a year. I don't have time to be gallivanting around Europe. But, living in Amsterdam is just amazing, and it was good for my soul. I was all right, I'll stay for another year, and that became another year, and next thing I know, it would have been 5 years.
Are you right now a full-time playwright, a full-time actor? Do you have a job where you're an attorney at a law firm?
I'm a raconteur. I'm just doing whatever I can. I guess I don't currently have a day job.
Yeah.
I do little bits and pieces where I can. I did a couple of I did a couple of Disney TV shows this year. Like,
you did.
Disney
shows.
Put you in a show for children?
They have not vetted me as well as you guys have, clearly. And I did some NBC Sports promos for their soccer coverage last year with Jason Sudeikis. We're going to do more of those.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I just do whatever I can get.
You know. But for you, and you've been doing it your whole life, right? You've been sort of a working actor slash writer your whole life?
Yeah, ever since Amsterdam, I've been a proper working actor, yeah.
And what are you currently working on right now? Anything that sort of is coming around the corner that we should know about?
Just Absolutely Filthy. This is coming up next weekend, and then we're doing it again in New York in August.
Wow,
and,
good thing.
And in between, my girlfriend and I are going to go to Brazil for the World Cup.
Look at you.
Wonderful.
Look at you go. Now, you brought the script in, and I asked you to maybe read a clean version or a section of the play that might be available, because there are certain
sure.
words, as you know, we can't say in the radio.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Absolutely Filthy, written and starring Brendan Hunt.
Just to set up, well, yeah, basically all you need to know is that this is a very dirty homeless guy who has had a very, very bad day, and is in the middle of it, he sort of takes inventory. This is not the way I expected my day to go. Started out normal. Woken up by a cop, saunter over to the dumpster behind McDonald's to scrape out some McNugget gel, follow that up with some good old-fashioned panhandling, you know, living the dream, etc. Figure the rest of the day would be the huge. Curl up in the fetal position on some abandoned staircase, stare deeply into space, taking inventory of all my mistakes and bad decisions I made in my life, reassigning myself the requisite blame and commensurate guilt for each one. Then catch a pigeon, break its neck, and cook it over a lighter. And finally, around sunset, wrap things up by selecting a parking meter to festoon with my lonely ejaculate. But not every day can be the perfect day.
Can you say ejaculate on the air? I don't know if that's
He just word. Did, so therefore yeah, you can.
I mean, it's a scientific term.
It's not one of the seven words.
No.
Not even close. The FCC can't even spell that word.
How dare they?
You rolled into that pretty nicely, by the way. It was just like second nature
hey,
for you.
Hey, you guys
so
requested
good.
Stuff. I tried to be prepared.
So this thing in New York, pretty big deal. You had to be invited to be an official entry in the 2014 festival, right?
We had to apply. And, I don't know if it'll be a big deal or not in the end. Like, I hope we can get a crowd and see if the show can go further and further. It has been a pleasure to do every step of the way, and I just really don't want to stop doing it if I don't have to.
If there are any of the usual SCR folks listening out there, you're saying, what the heck is this doing at SCR? Well, SCR a couple years ago started a very innovative theater in the Nicholas Theater and brought in a bunch of playwrights and people from all over the country. It reminds me of the Red Cat Theater up in L.A. I think it's got that same kind of genre and vibe to it. So it's a wholly different thing. It's a little more creative, a little more off the wall.
It's an SCR Studio Series.
It is indeed.
They want us to call it. To distinguish from the actual big room. They don't let me in the big room. I've only been in the little one.
No, there's a good reason for that.
and it rhymes with Wang.
It has to do with that term you do on the parking meters, I believe. Our patrons are very specific about liking their chairs.
Yeah, but some of them are adventurous. Come on, you people. Get out there.
Hey, I read one of your tweets, man. I thought this was hilarious. There is bad customer service. There is the S word, customer service. There is colon cancer. And then there is dealing with AT&T. How's your relationship with AT&T going?
Well, it sounds like I'm not going to get the refund check that they ended up offering me. They may have found that tweet somewhere in the interim. Man, it's just I moved and I wanted to cancel my service. And you go online and you can do any service they have except cancel online. And if you call, well, click, you want to cancel service? Well, you're going to be on hold forever. And I was in the moment.
Yeah. I love that, though. I love that. So Absolutely Filthy, an unauthorized Peanuts parody written by and featuring Brendan Hunt, next weekend, June 5th through June 8th, at South Coast Repertory's Studio SCR. Is there anything that we should know that we haven't discussed or addressed right here about next weekend's performance?
No, just that as of the last couple of days, it's starting to sell pretty well. So get those tickets in. I think it's scr.org is their website. I hope that's true. That's probably something I should have known ahead of time.
It is. I can assure you that's the website.
SCR.org. My man knows people on the
inside.
Oh,
he's connected, man. He's connected. You're going, definitely.
I am indeed. I'm on the board, so I frequently check that website.
Super connected.
And I'm going as well. So it sounds like it's just going to be very interesting and fun
people,
to watch.
People have a good time. I mean, weirdly, just the element of the hula hooping itself, I mean, I hope the writing's good, too, but the hooping itself makes it a pretty different show than you've seen before, and it works out.
Well, what would happen if you took the hula hoop out? How would that affect the entire look and feel.
Just in its own way.
Well, then I would get the boner that you're so worried about because I would be more focused.
Oh, okay. So the hula hoop, and you're pretty good at the hula hoop, yes?
I can't do a bunch of tricks or anything, but I can hula hoop without dropping it unless someone bumps into me, which sometimes happens.
Now, I'm curious, to recreate Pigpen, do you have like a hologram of a dust cloud around you, or how do you try and create
that hula
that
hoop
dust?
Is the hologram, bro.
Is it? Okay.
It's my personal Tupac hologram.
Okay. We're being unfit here today. Not
I hear. I hear.
Tupac is sadly no longer with us.
That's why he has a hologram.
Okay,
we got. This is the last minute here. Robert, we should get you in the studio maybe next weekend or the weekend after that, naked hula hooping for the entire show. I think that would make a very interesting
show.
The
FCC would ban that.
I can teach either one of you to hula hoop in 5 minutes.
Is that true?
Yep.
All right, there
sweet.
You go.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay, once again, absolutely filthy and unauthorized Peanuts parody written by and featuring Brendan Hunt. Next weekend, June 5 through June 8th, South Coast Repertory's Studio SCR. Get out there and watch this. It sounds like it's going to be an extraordinary event. Yeah.
It does, Brendan. Thanks for coming in. It was a trip meeting you and pleasure meeting you.
Thank you, guys.
It was a trip. Good word. You've been listening to Radio Caravan on KX93. 5 Laguna's only FM station. I'm Scott Hayes and
Robert Palmer. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your life. Thanks for coming in, Brendan.
Right.
You've been listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.